Okay, friends, let's pray. Father God, we welcome you in this place, God, and you are so here. I thank you for every story in every chair, every journey, every Jerusalem, God. We want to walk toward you, God. Sometimes we crawl, sometimes we're stumbling, sometimes we're running, but God, we want to go to where you are. I pray today that we all walk out of here feeling like we are headed in the right direction. And we thank you for your son, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, hi everybody, it's so good to see you. It's week 9, it's crazy, it's weird, because as we were going through this lesson this week, it was all about journey and all that, and I got a little emotional, I'm not gonna lie. Oh wait, I forgot to take off my rock and roll earrings. Just talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Okay, sorry. We'll just strike all that. Pretend like that didn't happen. Yeah, we're on a journey. And so I've been thinking a lot about our journey. Before we start, I want to tell you something that's kind of exciting. You know, the last few weeks, you guys have been collecting money in your groups and talking smack to each other. I have not missed that. That has been impressive, I got to say. I like how y'all talk to each other about the competition. But I want to tell you guys, we've been raising money for the Young Lives girls, and those are the unwed teen mothers that we're supporting through the Young Lives ministry, and we're scholarshipping them to go to that Sparrow conference that Rachel came and spoke about. And hey, guess what, everybody? You know how much money you guys raised? You guys raised $2,500 for these girls to go. So, you know, pat yourself, look at each other and say, way to go. Way to go. Good job. And I know we sold to you that you're going to get rewarded, the group that that did the best. And Tuesday night, as Ruth knows, I mean, they talk a lot, those Tuesday night girls. They brag. But we're not going to tell you today who won. So you just got to wait and wait for you. You better show up next week, is all I'm saying, because there may be a little reward in your group. So next week, we'll talk about who won that. And also, one other thing I wanted to remind you guys, if you're collecting, if you brought those toilet paper rolls for us, which is like the funniest thing ever, when a missionary says, hey, you know what we really need? I'm like, what? Money, prayer, food, what? We need toilet paper rolls. Okay, well, we can do that, right? So there's a little thing out there, I think, in the foyer. So if you want to drop those bad boys in, we'll have that out there the next few weeks. Okay, on to our journey. Let's go. We're looking at the Psalms of Ascent this week. And so open up your Bibles to the Psalms of Ascent. And that's Psalms 120 through 134 that you're all terribly familiar with now, right? Listen, you've heard me talk about this, but I want you to know, I have been personally on this crazy journey for almost a year now. It started in May at that women's retreat with Shauna on the front porch in the rocking chairs, looking at each other going, what are we talking about? We cannot do stories. We cannot write a study. We can't do this. Psalms? Let me tell y'all, I want to give y'all a little background. A few of you have heard this story before, but this just to tell you how insane God is. Let me just share a little of God's insanity. So in May, God said this. He said, you're going to write Psalms. And he didn't say it like that in a big booming God voice or anything. It was like I was in this little room at the retreat and this awesome teacher was teaching about David and it just like struck me like, oh no, it's Psalms. Psalms is big, God. I don't think I can do this. I emailed as soon as I got home and Sean and I had talked about it and committed to pray about it. I came home and I emailed my pastor because, you know, he's my pastor and he's encouraging, right? So yeah, I email him and I go, hey man, Ron, I'm kind of freaking out. Could you pray about this? I think this next study that I'm supposed to write is Psalms. And I'm thinking I'm gonna get this beautiful reverent message back, you know, from my godly pastor. And you know what he emailed me back, people? He said this, why don't you pick something easier like Revelation? I'm not even joking. If I would have thought, I would have put the email on the screen to prove it to you. And I told him that the other day in the hallway. I go, do you remember saying that, being encouraging? He goes, that sounds like me. It's been hard. God said, right. I said, okay, I'll do it. My story has been crazy. Some of you know some of the details. Some of you don't. But I'll tell you what, it has not been easy. And it has not been without exhaustion. But you know what else it has been? Besides the birth of my kids and the marriage to my husband, it might be the greatest thing that he's ever had me do. Because of this, because of stories, and because of what God has done and is doing on all of our journeys through this study. So I want to encourage you today, as you think about your Jerusalem, and we start making the trek up toward Jerusalem with the Israelites, I want you to think, what is your story? What is that Jerusalem that is yours, that right now you know you're headed towards, and sometimes it's really hard? Because friends, I've been there too. I am there too in my own journey. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that in a little bit. But for now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at really three things I'm going to focus on today. I'm going to give you a little background about the Psalms of Ascent. I know I shared a little bit of that in the homework and you read through it, and you probably have read some on your own too. We're going to talk about some background. We're going to talk about what is your Jerusalem. And I know that was one of the homework questions. And was it hard for y'all? Was that hard for anybody besides me? Yeah, it's sad when you write the study and it's hard for you. Like I knew it was coming and I still like did not know what to say. Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit. And then we're also going to talk about that pilgrimage that we're on toward our Jerusalem. Is it God's plan? Because, you know, how many times do you hear people say, well, you know, are you in God's will? And you're like, I don't know. We're going to talk about that too. So first thing we're going to do, we're going to look at some of the background of the Psalms of Ascent. So I'm just going to throw some facts at you really fast. Write down what you're interested in. It's not hard to find information about it, but let me give you a couple. I'm going to give you a what, why, and a who, okay, about the Psalms of Ascent. A what, why, and a who. Here's what we're going to start with. We're going to start with what. What are the Psalms of Ascent? Well, they're traveling songs, which I like that. That's catchy. It's a hymn book, really, and these psalms were intended to be sung in community for the trip to Jerusalem. And remember this too, this is a side thing. Whenever you see, like in the Psalms of Ascent, you know, almost every single one mentions Jerusalem. Sometimes it says Zion. Those are kind of interchangeable, really. It's just intended to show this journey toward the city of David, the temple where God is. You know, this is their symbolic place where God is, okay? So the what, it's these traveling songs that these communities, as they were leaving their home and heading toward Jerusalem, they sang together. Each song, sometimes you hear them, sometimes they're called the songs of degrees. And all that means is that's the Hebrew word for to go up, okay? They're arranged in an order. We're not exactly positive if this order was like chronological, meaning they sung 120, and then they moved a little bit, and then they sang 121, and then they moved. We don't really know that, but this is what's interesting. They seem to begin far away from Jerusalem. Do you remember 120? We talked about that Meshech and Kedar, you know, those two places that it references. Well, those are really far away, and so that's why it kind of looks geographically like almost it has a progression, if you will, toward Jerusalem. It's also, this is what's kind of cool, and you guys probably already know this, they were pretty brief, weren't they? Did you love that? You can say yes, it's really okay, God is not going to get mad, it's totally fine. They're really short, and with the exception of 132, and really it's because they're a lot easier to memorize and sing when they're short. So I thought that was interesting, you know, they're short on purpose, they're intended to be repeated over and over, to be memorized. Some believe, and this is fascinating, you know, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, which I have not, and I know some of you in here have, this is what's really cool. There are 15 steps that lead up within the court of the women up to the court of the Israelites. And so picture this for a minute, and if I would have been smart, I would have had a picture. But so the Temple Mount, you know, no longer can Christians, and we don't have access to that anymore, but what we do have access to are those steps that lead up to it, okay? And so what's interesting is there are 15 steps that lead up to the court of the women, which is actually where when they would go and make this journey to Jerusalem, they would all have to segregate out. So like the women would go over here to this court of the women, and they'd worship there, and then the men had this other place that they would go, and that was kind of the way it was. But there are 15 steps, and so a lot of people think maybe that each song was meant to be sung as you took a step up. Now visualize that for a minute. You know, you're stepping up to where it's supposed to be, the presence of the Lord, and singing these songs. What's cool, a friend of mine, Amy, sent me this article about even now today, and if you've been, maybe you've experienced this, that They reenact that, like there's opportunity for you to take, and they have, like I saw a picture on the internet where these people are all reading from the Psalms as they take a step up, and like this big group of people, and you could, that's something you can actually go do physically there. Wow. Same steps. Some of those have not been replaced and not been, they very well could be the same steps that Jesus walked on. So there's that thought too, that maybe these were these steps, these 15 steps. But no matter what, we do know that they were sung along the journey. That's something we do know. Why? Why were they singing these songs along the journey? Why were they taking the journey was a question I had, because if you look at the map, I mean, a lot of these people were, I mean, guys, it was a big deal. You know, it's not like they just Ubered on the way to Jerusalem. It was kind of a big deal. And so they take these journeys three times. And you know why? You like my first bullet? I liked it. God said so, people. God told them. God told them. In Exodus 23, 14 through 16, God specifically lays out a plan for his people. And he says this. He says, there's going to be three feasts that I want you to journey to the city of David to celebrate. And sometimes they have different names, but Passover occurs in the spring, Pentecost is in the summer, and the Feast of the Tabernacles is in the fall. So it's these three feasts that occur all throughout the year. Interestingly, Jesus made the same trek. Jesus made the same trek, if you think about that. In Luke 2, 41 through 42, he made this trek as an adult with his disciples, and that was actually one of the times he was foretelling his death on the cross while they were making the trek. Another time that it's referenced in the Bible is in Mark 10, where he's talking about when he was a child. Remember when he got left in the temple and his family was all, what? And they went back and they got him and all. Okay, that happened too. Same thing. They'd made this journey. So there's purpose in that. God has intention for that. And so these songs were sung along the way as reminders. God wanted them to have these reminders. Don't forget essential truths about me. That's what those festivals were about. Don't forget. The third thing about these Psalms of Ascent, the background for these is that who? Okay, so there's the authors. We got 10 of them that are anonymous. We don't know who wrote them. Four of them were written by who? Come on, it's on the screen. Thank you. Okay. And then one was written by Solomon. Who were they sung by? Again, they were sung by the communities. These were the Israelites, God's people, that were making this pilgrimage. Okay. Talks about that in 1 Chronicles 29. Lots of references to it in the Psalms. You can look it up. Listen, as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about journeys and all that kind of stuff, you know what I thought about? And I'm sure this was true of the people that were making the trek. Too many of us want to be settlers, not pilgrims, right? I want to settle. I want to settle in. We should feel temporary in this life. Do you realize that? Like, we should feel like we are traveling all the time. Maybe sometimes not physically. I hear Ruth's story, and I think about all these, like she phrased them as snapshots. But, and you know what I thought about? I thought about they are just all these different journeys through her life. Some of them were physical journeys. Some of them were just where God was taking her and she was holding on, right? Leaning in, throttling up. We're supposed to be pilgrims, not settlers, girls. There's three main themes of the Songs of Ascent. Three main themes, and they are this. They are affliction. Anybody relate? Well, I know you relate, and I'll tell you why. I'll read it in just a minute. There's affliction. We see that repeated over and over and over through several of them. We see so much a picture of God's grace. And those two go hand in hand. Don't miss that. Affliction, God's grace. And then we also see references to God's chosen resting place for them, Jerusalem or Zion. And you know, I think I mentioned this before, almost every single one of the Psalms of Ascent mentioned Jerusalem by name. Either they call it Zion or Jerusalem. But if you go back and read it, you'll notice that over and over and over. It's to put that in front of their mind so that they remember. Don't forget. Don't forget where you're going. The second point we're going to cover today is this. What is your Jerusalem? What is your Jerusalem? We asked that question today, and I'll tell you, you know, some of those journeys may be very deep. They may have been things that you sat there in your group today and you didn't want to talk about. Some of them may be, you know, hey, I just want to get to the end of the day without screaming at my kids. That's my Jerusalem. Hey, we have those too. We're all on these journeys, you know? But here's what I want you to think about. What journey are you on today? I had the small group leaders ask you to write, and some of you can see on this papers on the floor here in front of me. I wanted you guys to write them down. Just write down the name. I didn't want names. I didn't want details. Just write down the name of this Jerusalem that's yours, this journey that you're on. There's real power in that, you know? There's power in naming it. But here's the thing I want you to consider. As you're considering what your Jerusalem is, you know, there's a journey to get there, right? Is a journey to get there. Here's the thing. All pilgrimages, every single journey, I challenge you to debunk this truth. Every single one of them have this. There will be level ground. There will be steep inclines. There will be resting in exhaustion. And then sometimes you're resting in discouragement, right? You're just done. There will be falls and there'll be wounds and scars that you take with you when you fall. And there will be crossroads. We talked about crossroads, didn't we, this week in our homework? There will be crossroads where you have to make a decision. I'm going to guess that some of you are, you know exactly where you are right now. In this little list, you know right where you are. Well, I'll tell you, every single journey has these different areas. It's not just flat and easy all the time, right? Amen? But you know what else it's not? It's not steep and painful all the time either. And I think sometimes we got to be reminded of that, because I think we focus on the steep uphill incline, exhaustion, discouragement. We forget, hey, sometimes he gives us level ground. Sometimes he speaks to us and tells us that we're going to get to be a mother, but not in the way we think. What is your Jerusalem? So think about that as we go through this. Now, this third question, and this is where we're going to spend most of our time. Our third question is this. Is your pilgrimage God's plan for you? Is your pilgrimage God's plan for you? That's hard. And you know, the reason why I brought this up is because I'll be selfish. I was thinking about my thing. I was thinking about my Jerusalem that I have been on, that has been this Psalms journey. From the minute God put it in my head to the sleepless nights of writing it, to wrestling over all sorts of crazy obstacles that came along the way, to almost we're making our trek toward the Jerusalem, toward the end of this thing. And it's been a long journey, and it's been hard, but it's been good. And so I started thinking about that, well, how do I know? How did I know? Chris, how did you know that that's what God wanted you to do? Because like I said, there was no big God voice that said, hey, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. Here's a flow chart. If he speaks to you that way, that is awesome. I would like to hear about it. But instead, he reminded me of some ways that I know that it is part of his plan, my pilgrimage. So here's what they are. There were four things. And I'm going to start with number one. And are you ready? You're going to love this one. Here's number one. This is how you know that you are on the pilgrimage that is part of God's plan. It's hard, and it's really hard. It's hard. It's really hard. Listen, I've said it before. One of the things God has taught me, and by taught, I mean smacked me around a lot over the last year, is he's told me this, that opposition doesn't have to always be painful. It doesn't always have to redirect you. It doesn't have to make you quit. That sometimes opposition is opportunity. It's opportunity to step up and over, right? Opposition. As we were going through this, we started out in May. And listen, I started the other night, I started writing down, and this is going to sound super negative, but I want you to hear these obstacles, okay? And this was just a few of us brainstorming, okay? So here's how it started. In May, it started with God saying, you're going to write this. And then my awesome pastor scaring me to death. Then I got to write. And in June, I started talking to people who might be on the team. And so in June, this is what we had. We had no right-hand person to help run this thing. We had no AV team because everybody quit because it was horrible. And then we had, God bless you all back there in the booth. Then we had no subs. Then we didn't have enough leaders. On day one, we didn't have enough leaders. Okay, let's see. So my heart rate's starting to go again. I'm writing. I have writer's block. I can't write. I was writing in the middle of the night. I was up all night. Printers were dying. Scanners were dying. Computers died. Books didn't arrive on time. And then they did. In September, you guys will love this. In September, the first kickoff, the first Psalms thing, it's like baby birthing. You know, here's this baby. We're all here. The day before, my husband had major knee surgery. Okay, I don't want to say anything else. January, the kickoff. Some of you know this too. When we showed up here for our first kickoff for January, I stood up here with 2 hours of sleep because my garage and my car got broken into the night before in my driveway. And the police were there and it was crazy. And I'm like, okay, God, of course it's on a Tuesday. Of course. Homes broken into, hospitalized kids, pneumonia, coughing for 3 months, no subs for me. Dawn was plan C. Or was she plan C? I think she was plan A. Lectures written in the middle of the night, giving lectures on little or no sleep, no video, just audio, no audio, just video. Different problem every week for the playback. Low lights, no lights, sleeplessness. What if I would have said, it's hard, I'm done. You know, I didn't. And here's the thing, that you know what I love about that is that's my funny little messy little pile of opposition. But you know what? I asked your leaders to send me some of the things that we've been praying about. And I want you to hear this for a minute. And I want you to think, this is where God's taking you. He's taking you on this pilgrimage and you are walking over opposition. Do you know what your opposition is, these people in this room right now? Here's what the opposition is in this room. And I will try not to cry. Heart problems, miscarriages, depression, walking pneumonia, 7 double ear infections, 4 straight months of illness in my home, sinus infection, colds, the loss of a baby, chronic illness, hospitalization, suicidal thoughts, surgeries, so many surgeries. I could stand up here forever and announce all this. Cancer of my kid, chronic pain, infertility, sick kids, kidney stones, husband surgeries, deaths, anxiety, heart attacks, surgery to remove a tumor on an unborn baby in utero. That's what's happening in this room. Hopelessness, doubt, insecurities, guilt, not feeling it today, loneliness, lack of discipline, divorce, job loss, work issues, new jobs, jury duty, stress, weather, childcare issues, caring for an elderly parent, domestic abuse, unemployment, broken down car, self-doubt, families in crisis, marriages at risk, obstacles. What do we do with that? Do we just lay down and say we're done? Opposition, obstacles, equal opportunity. And if we look at that and don't see that there's a God who loves us in the midst of these 2 full pages of notes, we're not headed in the right direction. It's hard. It's really hard. Sometimes when you're on the right path, it's hard. It's really hard. Here's the principle for this section. It's this. Don't mistake opposition for redirection. Don't mistake opposition for redirection. The second thing, as you're trying to figure out if this Jerusalem is God's plan, is this. You know, your view shifts to God's view. Have you noticed that? Do you have those moments? You know, I have this thing, this thought. You know, when our lives become less about us and more about God, you know what it looks like? It looks like this. You know how if you're making lemonade, and if you make homemade, just forget this whole part, but Kool-Aid, is that better? And you get the water, and then you pour it in. You don't just pour it in, right, and then pour it in cups. You got to stir it up. And when you stir it up, you can't see the difference anymore, right? It's all dissolved in. I think that our God wants our lives to look like that. I think God needs to be dissolved into our lives. I think when you're changing a diaper, I think when you are at a traffic light, I think when you're dealing with frustration, when you're in a teacher meeting, when you're suffering, I think our lives need to have this God dissolved all in it. You know, one thing that helps me think that way is this. I know that my view is starting to be God's view when have any of you seen me carrying this around? If you know me, you're probably very familiar with it. This is a journal that I have. And look, I don't care. Don't sit there and say, I don't journal. I'm not a journaler. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. Because here's what I want you to know. Sometimes you got to write things down. You know, when I started doing this study, Don Leith challenged me to write all these confirmations I kept getting. I knew what I was supposed to be doing. It was so hard. And there were times I wanted to quit. There's several of you that can attest to that. But you know what Dawn challenged me to do? She said, write down all those moments that God confirms what's happening. Write down those moments. And so I did. So I carry this thing around with me everywhere. And there's so many places where I wrote this little PC, and that's a Psalms confirmation. And I was going to read some of them to you, but for the sake of time, I'm not. But I'll tell you, when I started looking for them, it blew my mind. And then I wrote them down. And then all of a sudden, my view was different. And then all of a sudden, I'm in a school bus in the middle of Belize, driving down the road, and I look over, and Psalm 119 is written on the side of a building. And I'm like, hey, everybody, that was for me. Everybody on the bus, y'all aware? He does it, guys. He does it all the time. We're just not looking because our view is our own. And I think God wants our view to be his. He wants us to have that view. He wants us to be dissolved in with him. Write them down. Listen, the principle for this section is this. Allow for the dissolve. Allow for the dissolve into your day-to-day life. Will you allow God to be just so entrenched in every little thing that you're doing that you can't even see the difference? It's not like he just lives on Sunday. He's in every bit of it. The third thing, this is my favorite one, I have to say. The third reason why that you know that you're on the right path with God is this, that you rely on your Aaron team. So when I started this whole thing, I was told again by Dawn, and she's here, so whatever, so rude. She said to me, hey, I'm excited that God told you in the rocking chair at Pine Cove to write the Psalms, but I'm going to tell you something, and and she says it so sweet, you know, she's like, this is not optional. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, what is it? She goes, I need you to ask some people to pray for you. And I'm like, that is okay. That is not a thing you go up to people and ask. Hey, man, I'm not really going to pray for you, but will you pray for me? And that's what I did. And it was the weirdest thing ever. And the people, some of them are in this room right now, and I can't keep going on and on about that. But this is what it became. It became these people that were my Aaron. And do you know, are you familiar with that story in the Bible? It's in Exodus 17:12, and I think we have the text for it. Sorry, Michael, I'm all over the place. Exodus 17:12 was this way. So Moses, remember Moses? He was way back. He was this super reluctant leader for God. He didn't really want to do it in the beginning. He was really reluctant, and so he didn't really believe in himself. Anybody ever been there, right? I'm there every single week. And so this is what happened in Exodus 17:12. But Moses' hands grew weary. And so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. And while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side, so his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. You know, you've got to have people in your world that hold your hands up. Who are those people? And if you sit here today and you think, well, I don't really have anybody to do that. Well, you know what? This is a room full of people that can be your Aaron. We can be our Aaron for each other. But I tell you what, I've got this group of ladies that pray with me. They don't just pray with me, they pray for me. And I want you to know, every Tuesday, starting at about 3 p.m., when I get into panic mode, till about 2 a.m., I'm texting them, telling them, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm saying. I can't believe I'm doing that. And you know what I get back? This is what I get back. Praying. They lift my hands up when I can't do it. I could not do this. I could not get to my Jerusalem without an Aaron team. I couldn't do it. And you know what else? This is just kind of a little bonus. One of the girls on my team would leave me these little notes. And I still have them. You can see they just kind of float around. And she'd leave me these notes of encouragement. And some of them are scripture, and some are scripture, and some of them are just, hey, man, you can do this. And I tell you what, if you don't have people like that in your world, I'm going to ask you to boldly pray for that right now. If that's what you walk out of here praying, pray that God will give you those people. Because that makes all the difference in the whole universe, friends. You cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. Here's the principle for this section. Oh man, the principle is this. On this trip, you will get tired. You know that verse? In this life, you will have trouble. On this trip, you will get tired. Who is lifting your arms? Who is lifting your arms? Well, the last thing I want you to check yourself on when you're considering your pilgrimage is this. Are you walking toward God? You know, I started typing it and I wrote walking with, because that sounds like, you know, I'm on this journey with and he's by my side. And I thought, no way, man. Yeah, he's with you. And yeah, that's all true. I get it. But you know what? You need to be walking towards something. I've always heard that, you know, you don't, when you're moving on to something else, you need to be moving towards something else. Well, my daughter had to make a really difficult decision in her life to change her trajectory with her stuff. Like, she decided, I'm done with dance. And you know what I told her? This was what I equipped her with when people asked. I said, you don't say I'm quitting that or I'm leaving that. You know what you say? I'm moving on to what God wants me to do next. Because that's the way it should be. I've used this example before. I don't know if it was in here, but I heard this. I thought it was beautiful. It's like, you think about when you're walking towards something, when you're working your way towards something, it's like, consider this, like there's these big mountains and you're in a valley and you're in a rowboat. Is everybody in the boat with me? Are we in the boat? Okay. So you're on one side and you start rowing, right? And you're trying to get to the other side and there's trees over there and they're so tiny. But as you get closer, what happens? Trees get bigger. The trees get bigger. And that's what we need. We want to be moving towards something. Are the trees getting bigger? Or are you staying? I mean, we talked about all those other stages, that level ground and that steep incline. And are you standing against the precipice like this, or are you continuing to move forward? You've got to move toward something. Faith is forward looking. Do you realize that? Faith is not a frozen thing that happens once and then it's done. It is forward looking. That's what faith is. I'm going to give you the principle, and then we're going to close with a song. And I am not going to sing it because all of you just looked at me really weird. And I'm going to sing it. No, I'm not going to sing it because then you'd cry. Let me give you the principle. The section is this. That on your journey, ask yourself often, what or who am I moving toward? What or who am I moving toward? You think about your Jerusalem, and sometimes it is to get through the day without screaming at your kids, but you know what? That's moving towards God, because don't you believe that God wants you to be a mom that's fulfilled and loves your children? He knows you yell. It's okay. Chill out. It's going to be all right. But guys, are we moving toward something that is our God, or are we moving away from him? Ask yourself that. Look, in closing, I have to tell you this, and I really need to buy like a big bouquet of flowers for the childcare workers, because it's going to be 4 minutes of your time. But I want you to stop for a minute. I want you to, you take notes. Well, don't take notes. I'm not allowing you to do that. I want you to listen. I want you to listen to some words, because there's this song that just kept jumping into my earphones. And you know me, like, my music is my jam thing. And so it came and I thought, God, is this what you are saying to us when you're standing in that Jerusalem and you're waiting for us to come? Is this what you say when we're headed in the right direction? And I think it is. I think you need to hear this today. I need to hear it. So consider your journey. Consider the one that you're journeying toward, and just listen to these words, okay?
I am the Lord your God. I go before you now. I stand beside you, and I'm all around you. Though you feel I'm far away, I'm closer than your breath, and I am with you more than you know. Ooh. hand to hold. I am the truth, I am the way, yeah. Just come to me, 'cause I'm all that you need.
He is your Jerusalem. He is all that you need, all the time. Are you on level ground? Are you on that horrible steep incline that's taken the breath out of you and you just don't even have anything left? Are you resting? Are you exhausted? Are you wounded? Are you fallen on the ground? Just don't even know what's next? Are you at a crossroads? Look, get up and get moving. Come to me. That's what I heard the whole time I read these Psalms. Where are we going? Who is our Jerusalem? How are we getting there? Girls, it's all you need. And if you don't know him, if you don't know that you're heading in that direction toward Jesus, whether that be, I don't even know where I'm going for the next 30 minutes. You know what? Will you come? Will you find one of us and let us pray with you? Because there is a God who loved you so much that he sent Jesus to be your Jerusalem. You may not want to yell at your kids, but you know what? You've got a Savior who can stand there with you and go, oh, baby girl, it's okay. I love you anyway. Come to him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that every one of us keeps our eyes on you, that we look forward, that the trees are getting bigger, God, that we don't decide that when there's opposition that we just lay down. It's not redirection, God. Sometimes that opposition, like Ruth's story today, is that opportunity to do something bigger and better. Thank you that you love us so much. We're climbing up 2,500 feet and you are standing at the top waiting. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.